What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening until 9 o'clock, or actually until 10 o'clock, sorry. How you doing? Obviously, if you can tell from the sound of my voice, I've been battling allergies. But I'm going to tell you, nothing, not even the dreaded COVID-19 would keep me from being here with you tonight. And by the way, I still haven't gotten COVID. I don't know if you have. My wife likes to say we've been playing dodgeball now for 3 years and we haven't gotten hit. But I don't like to use that analogy because with dodgeball, the longer you go without getting hit, the greater your odds become of getting hit. So I really don't want to use that metaphor. Last week, I got a lot of emails during the past week. I always appreciate that. If I talk about something tonight that piques your interest, you want to shoot me an email, feel free. I always respond. And my email address at my law firm, it's byoung, B-Y-O-U-N-G, at harrisdowell.com, H-A-R-R-I-S, as in Sam, D as in David, O-W-E-L-L. Would love to hear from you. Speaking of hearing from you, we don't have any interviews tonight, so I've got a lot of topics to cover. I could probably go 6 hours tonight without a problem, but I would rather hear from you, because isn't that the point of talk radio, the dialogue, where we get to have a conversation, hopefully an intelligent one, about the issues of the day. I always strive for that. Sometimes it doesn't work, okay? I admit that, but it's good to have a goal, and the goal here is to have an intelligent conversation. So if you've got something on your mind tonight, even if it's off topic, you can either call or text at any time, 314-436-7900. Before I dive into some of the things I want to talk about, I did want to mention that Kegs and Eggs, which is the big, big Camo X event tomorrow before opening day, it's sold out. So last week I implored you to get your tickets. Yes, I implored you to get your tickets last week, and if you didn't get your tickets, it's too late. Kegs and Eggs is sold out for tomorrow. I'll be there. But listen, it's really funny. In the promotional material, it says there will be Camo X celebrities there, and probably the biggest celebrity that you're going to see tomorrow at Kegs and Eggs is going to be our very own Matt Pajeski. So, Matt, you're going to be there, right?
I'm going to be there from 10 to 12.
From 10 to 12. So if you want to catch the best producer in radio, make sure you show up between 10 and 12 tomorrow at Kegs and Eggs. Of course, got to have tickets. I've got some other stuff to get into, but Big Al's holding. I want to talk to Big Al. Hey, Big Al, good to talk to you, sir.
How are you, buddy?
I'm doing well.
Opening day tomorrow.
Oh, man, I'm pumped.
It's a holiday.
You know, it is. It's a holiday. I was explaining this to an out-of-town friend of mine today when he was saying, what's the deal with opening day? And I said, are you kidding? It's like Christmas, New Year's, and the 4th of July all wrapped into one for St. Louisans.
Exactly. It's the day we begin the season when Mo has told us all winter long we have everything we need to win the World Series. We fail again.
Oh, come on. You got to have hope, Al. You got to have hope, man.
We need pitching.
We do. We do need some pitching. But listen, one of the biggest problems last year was offense, and we've made some enormous strides in offense production.
Good pitching beats good hitting anytime. Look at the World Series winners. They have studs in the front row, 1-2, and usually 3, and we don't have one. I mean, seriously, one, a number one.
Yeah, but let's get back to talking about hitting.
Exactly. We better hit. But a couple things.
Yeah.
This Nashville deal is just so heartbreaking. I have two grandbabies that go to a religious school, and I just can't imagine the pain these families are going through. And my buddy sent me something today that really, really rings in. It said, to the trans community, don't tell me I have to accept you for who you are, because you couldn't accept who you were.
That's very wise, Al. And in fact, after the break, that's going to be one of the topics I'm going to be diving into, is the Nashville shooting, in terms of, is it a hate crime, how the media is handling a transgender shooter, and how it's different this time because the group that's been identified and damaged are Christians. And typically the media always goes out in favor of the victims, but here they're not really doing that. So I'm going to be diving into all of that after the break here this evening.
And the Democratic Party is from, I don't know what is going on with these people. I used to be one. They left me. Okay. I really was back at Boeing and the union. I mean, I was, but they encourage at every turn the kind of stuff that's happening. I mean, Maxine Waters all the way down, we've seen it. And then they wonder what the heck, why it's going on. If the Republicans were encouraging everything the way they were, oh my geez, it would be unbelievable. And then on gun control, real quick, murder's against the law, okay? But the law doesn't stop them.
Right.
And gun control, you can, it doesn't matter. The criminals don't care about the law, people.
That's why they're criminals, Al. They're criminals because they don't care about the law.
I don't know what's wrong with this country, and I really don't know what's wrong with the Democratic Party anymore, but it seems like they're out, these people and the leaders are out just to ruin our country, and I don't know what their deal is, but it's sad.
It is sad, Al. Hey, we have to take a break here, buddy, but thanks for calling in. Thanks for listening, and it's great to talk to you.
You too, bud.
Hey, talk to you soon, my friend. Hey, we're going to take a break. Coming up after the break, though, again, we'll dive in to this shooting situation. But before that, we're going to talk about sports betting in Missouri. Could be right around the corner. And also what's right around the corner is more at your service. Brad Young. We'll be right back on KMOX.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most, exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
News, talk, sports. The voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
When I say I love you, you say you better. You better. When I say I need you, you say you better. You better.
What? I can't think of a better bumper music here for talking about sports betting. Yeah, that's right. We heard today that the Missouri House of Representatives overwhelmingly approved a bill, actually I think it was Monday, to legalize sports wagering betting. And what's interesting is this is a bipartisan bill in the House. It passed 119-35. That's pretty massive majority there. And the only real complaint against it was, at least in the House, was how much should the sports betting or the winnings, how much should they be taxed? And Republicans wanted it at 10%, and I think Democrats wanted it at 20%. But there really wasn't any legitimate argument about whether it should pass, just about whether or to what extent it should be taxed. Now, in the Senate, it's a different matter, and I'll jump into that in a moment. But at least from the policy perspective, I wanted to bring in Matt Pajeski, of course, producer extraordinaire. And Matt, what are your thoughts about sports betting? Thumbs up, thumbs down? Is it a, what are the pros? What are the cons? How do you see it?
I would give it a thumbs up. I'm not a sports bettor myself, and how could I be living in Missouri? But I would assume that it would be good for the state if they're able to, you know, cash in on some of those on the taxes on the winnings. Then that would surely benefit the state, right? Whether it's 10% or 20%. Cons, well, I really can't think of too many cons. And you can argue the morality of it, that, you know, if it's any habit that becomes unhealthy, when it becomes addicting, and you know, you certainly don't want to be gambling your life savings or your house or anything like that. But that's not exclusive to sports betting. That's with any betting. That's the only con I could really think of.
Well, what about how? And I'm just playing devil's advocate. That's what I do. I'm not necessarily advocating this. But what about the idea that it detracts from the game, that it goes from being a national pastime, whether it's baseball or football or something else, instead of enjoying the game for the game's sake, it's now just an enterprise to say, do I win money or do I lose money? Is that, from your perspective, does that detract from the game at all?
I don't think so. I think the people who truly care are going to care no matter what happens. You know, if you are a sports bettor, then you may just be a casual fan of all of the sports, and you're throwing money on it, again, like you said, just for the sake of cashing in. But for the true fans of baseball, football, basketball, what have you, you're going to be watching the game regardless of sports wagering, whether it's legal or not.
How do you think this impacts guys like Pete Rose? Okay, Pete Rose is banned for life from baseball because he was betting on he. I don't think he ever admitted that he bet on his own games, but he did admit that he bet on baseball itself.
Right.
So here's the guy that's banned for life for something that's now, at least in most states already, it's already legal and will probably soon be legal in Missouri. Does it seem a problem to say to Pete Rose, you're the greatest hitter in the history of the game? You got kicked out because at the time there was no betting on baseball. But now that we have betting, you're still kicked out.
Yeah.
Is that a problem?
It is a problem. He definitely deserves to be in the Hall of Fame. Every accolade, you know, he deserves. I don't know if it's a true apples to apples argument when he was a member of the team itself. I mean, sports wagering may be legal, but that still doesn't allow members of the team to bet, though, does it? Do we know about that? That still can't be legal, though, right?
I don't know that it's legal or illegal, but it's going to be certainly be banned by baseball rules.
Okay.
I don't know that it's going to be part of the law. So it's not like if you bet on a game and you're an active baseball player, you're going to the pokey. I mean, I don't think it's going to be that, right. But you could still be kicked out of baseball because of MLB or NFL or NHL rules. You could still be punished.
Right. Yeah. But definitely Pete Rose, you know, I'm not in the minority here. I think everybody agrees that Pete Rose was unfairly treated and definitely deserves a place in Cooperstown.
I got to tell you a quick story. I can't name the person, but a friend of mine was doing an interview with Pete Rose while Pete Rose was managing, I think it was the Reds. And the Reds were here in town, and this friend of mine was interviewing Pete Rose in the opponent's clubhouse. And during the interview, this is a good friend of mine told me this actually happened. He said that during the interview with Pete Rose, Pete got a phone call, and he bet on a baseball game in the presence of my friend who was doing an interview. And so he would tell me about this whenever Pete said, no, I've never bet on baseball. And my friend would say, dude, I heard you bet on baseball in my presence. And then later on, of course, he admitted it. But it seems to me disingenuous to say, we want sports betting, but my goodness, Pete Rose, you're out for life. Now, that really doesn't impact whether we should be betting on games or not. I just worry, and again, this is such a tangential concern that people are going to be watching the game just to win money or lose money. And I guess in the grand scheme of things, I guess one could ask, does it really matter? Does it matter the motive for someone watching a game?
Yeah.
And I guess it really doesn't.
I want more people to be enjoying sports. I want Matt Pauly, almost all show, not all show, but several segments talking about the new rule changes. What it's doing is it's attracting more people to the game. Don't you want more people to be coming to baseball games, to be, you know, listening to the game on the radio?
And sure.
To me, this is, if it attracts more people to the sport, why not?
And what's interesting from a media perspective, across the board, and I'm going to talk mainly about television, but across the board, the ratings for most programs are just down every year, down, down, down. But when you look at the number one rated programs, they're always live sports because no one wants to watch a sporting event delayed. You want, or no one wants to listen to it delayed. You want, you got to know it now or your buddies are going to text you about it.
Uh-huh.
So it really does drive ratings in a way that any more traditional media simply cannot do because it lacks that sense of urgency. You got to watch it and you got to watch it now. You got to listen to it and you got to listen to it now. So your point is, even if somebody has, for lack of a better term, impure motives, as long as people are being drawn to the game, they're enjoying the game, they're participating with the game, for you, that's a win-win.
I think so, yeah. I mean, it's no secret that baseball has been kind of declining in popularity, especially compared to the other big sports. And I'm just using baseball as a specific example here. But if sports betting draws, you know, thousands or hundreds of thousands of more people to baseball, then mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I want to see the stands packed.
Me too. I
want Major League Baseball to make more money so they can pay the players and they can spend money on nice things at the stadium and, you know, and just things like that. So
improve the experience for people
exactly.
who are either watching or listening. And I'm a huge fan of some of these rule changes. And I was looking at some stats today, and the games are going to be shortened, at least according to the tests that were done. Maybe it's based on spring training. But I saw that it looks like the game is going to go about 20 minutes faster.
That's right. Yep.
And to me, you may say, oh, 20 minutes, who cares? But in the midst of the game, that's going to make a big difference.
Absolutely. We were talking about, you know, making the game more accessible to people. When you've got late night games, late night starting at 7 o'clock, a 3-hour, 3.5-hour game takes you to 10 o'clock, 10:30. A kid who's still in school has got to go to school the next day and might not be able to enjoy the bottom of the ninth inning with his dad mm-hmm. or with his parents because he's got school the next day. Well, now a 2.5-hour game, now it's a little more doable, and that's more attractive to, you know, a younger crowd who can now stay up later, or not stay up later, but can stay through these games.
Right.
Same with a daytime game on the weekend. You can come back for the birthday party or the barbecue or whatever. You're able to still see the game and enjoy other parts of your own life, too.
And the reality of it, too, is that we have shorter attention spans, that nobody wants to sit and watch War and Peace when it comes to reading War and Peace when you're watching a baseball game. Yeah. Nobody wants that.
No.
And we do have shorter attention spans. And I think anything that speeds up the game, as long as it maintains the essential elements of the game, talking about baseball, to me, I think it's worthwhile and I'm going to applaud it. And I'm looking forward to seeing how this experiment moves forward. Hey, we're going to take a break. And after the break, and Big Al called in the last segment, and I'm going to go back to this topic because this Nashville shooting touches on so many issues on so many levels. And I'm not going to take the position that if you turn on Fox News, they blame one group. If you turn on MSNBC, they're going to blame the evil Republicans and the gun lobby. I'm not blaming anyone, but I'm going to explore the issues, the ideas, and the implications of what we heard and what we saw, and more importantly, how we as society, how we're responding to this incident. And if you've got some thoughts, love to hear that. 314-436-7900. Call or text open lines this evening on At Your Service, Brad Young. Don't go away. At Your Service, Brad Young in with you this evening, and I want to dive headlong into the Nashville shooting incident. And I guess right out of the box, I want to talk about this idea of whether this is a hate crime. And let me set this up in context. If you remember back in May of last year, there was a shooting at a Buffalo, New York grocery store that was a traditional African-American grocery store. And people were shot. It was awful. It was terrible. People were killed. And immediately, literally moments after the shooting, there was a call to investigate this as a hate crime. Why? Because the primary target of the shooter was African Americans. So it was legitimately investigated as a hate crime. And in fact, the shooter was eventually charged in addition to murder and assault, but he was also charged with multiple counts of hate crimes. Also, remember there was this Club Q, which is a homosexual bar in Colorado in November of 2022. And in that instance, again, immediately after the shooting happened, most news media outlets and politicians were calling for an investigation as to whether or not this was a hate crime against homosexuals. The person who committed that shooting was also charged with, among other things, multiple counts of hate crime. So the model that we've established is that if a group is the primary target, then it can be investigated as a hate crime. Why am I discussing this? Well, yesterday, Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, asked Merrick Garland, our attorney general, to whether he was going to be investigating this as a hate crime. And his statement, I thought, was extremely interesting. His statement was, well, we don't have any information about the motive yet, so at this point, we cannot make a determination as to whether or not we're going to investigate this as a hate crime. So I did a little legal research today. Unfortunately, I couldn't bill a client for it. Usually when I do legal research, I get to bill somebody for that. But no, I'm doing this for your benefit, and it is gratis. So I did some legal research. There's the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009. If you really want to look it up, it's 18 U.S.C. 249. But under the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, it specifies that under federal law, a person can be charged with a hate crime, and I'm reading directly from the statute, if the crime was committed because of the actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin of any person. So under the hate crimes bill, if someone commits a crime because of either an actual or perceived religion of the people being shot, then under federal law, it can be investigated as a hate crime. People can be charged with a hate crime. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat, one huge difference here is that the Nashville shooter did not survive. So she was killed. There's no one to charge. You can't charge someone who's dead with a crime. So that lacks that same element of maybe a necessity or urgency because the shooter was killed at the scene of the crime. But nevertheless, that's not what Merrick Garland said. Merrick Garland said, I can't decide whether or not to investigate this as a hate crime because we don't yet know the motive. Now, circle back to that shooting at the Buffalo grocery store in May of last year. Did any member of the Biden administration say, we're not going to investigate this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? Did anyone say that? The answer is no. That was not said. In fact, on the front end, when officials were interviewed about the Buffalo shooting, they immediately said, this may be a hate crime. We're going to investigate this as a hate crime. Let's look at that Club Q shooting in Colorado from November of 2022. Did any government officials say right off the bat, we're not sure whether we're going to investigate this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? Absolutely not. Every government official, whether it was state, federal, or local, came out after the Club Q shooting and said this was obviously a shooting that targeted homosexuals based upon their sexual identity or their sexual preference, and we're going to be investigating this as a hate crime. But you're not hearing that now. And I'm not suggesting that it is or is not a hate crime because I don't know the motive of the shooter. But I remember discussing this idea after the Buffalo shooting, after the Colorado shooting, and throwing out the idea, why are we so quick to rush into investigating this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? So I agree with Merrick Garland. However, This is the only instance where Merrick Garland has taken that position. If it was against African Americans, if it was against homosexuals, there was no decision to wait until we can identify the motive of the shooter. We're going to just announce, based upon the fact that African Americans were shot, based upon the fact that homosexuals were shot, we're going to launch an investigation to determine the motive of the shooter to see if this is a hate crime. But yet when it comes to Christians, there's a distinct difference. So I don't know whether this is a hate crime or not until we read the manifesto, which hasn't been released yet, because the shooter, Audrey Hale, she apparently wrote a manifesto describing, according to reports, what she did, why she did it, and her motivation. But we don't know about that yet. We don't know what's in that manifesto. We don't know if it's 100 words or 10,000 words. But regardless of how long it is, the Attorney General of the United States did not have access to this manifesto a day after the shooting, before he went and testified in front of Congress. I find that hard to believe, because all Merrick Garland had to do was to say to one of the federal officials, one of the hundreds, if not thousands, of federal officials that were on.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from.
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in with you this evening. And I want to dive headlong into the Nashville shooting incident. And I guess right out of the box, I want to talk about this idea of whether this is a hate crime. And let me set this up in context. If you remember, back in May of last year, there was a shooting at a Buffalo, New York grocery store that was a traditional African-American grocery store. And people were shot. It was awful. It was terrible. People were killed. And immediately, literally moments after the shooting, there was a call to investigate this as a hate crime. Why? Because the primary target of the shooter was African Americans. So it was legitimately investigated as a hate crime. And in fact, the shooter was eventually charged, in addition to murder and assault, but he was also charged with multiple counts of hate crimes. Also, remember there was this Club Q, which is a homosexual bar in Colorado in November of 2022. And in that instance, again, immediately after the shooting happened, most news media outlets and politicians were calling for an investigation as to whether or not this was a hate crime against homosexuals. The person who committed that shooting was also charged with, among other things, multiple counts of hate crime. So the model that we've established is that if a group is the primary target, then it can be investigated as a hate crime. Why am I discussing this? Well, yesterday, Senator from Missouri, Josh Hawley, asked Merrick Garland, our attorney general, to whether he was going to be investigating this as a hate crime. And his statement, I thought, was extremely interesting. His statement was, well, we don't have any information about the motive yet, so at this point, we cannot make a determination as to whether or not we're going to investigate this as a hate crime. So I did a little legal research today. Unfortunately, I couldn't bill a client for it. Usually when I do legal research, I get to bill somebody for that. But no, I'm doing this for your benefit, and it is gratis. So I did some legal research. There's the Hate Crimes Prevention Act of 2009. If you really want to look it up, it's 18 U.S.C. 249. But under the Hate Crimes Prevention Act, it specifies that under federal law, a person can be charged with a hate crime And I'm reading directly from the statute. If the crime was committed because of the actual or perceived race, color, religion, national origin of any person. So under the hate crimes bill, if someone commits a crime because of either an actual or perceived religion of the people being shot, then under federal law, it can be investigated as a hate crime. People can be charged with a hate crime. Now, I'll tell you right off the bat, one huge difference here is that the Nashville shooter did not survive. So she was killed. There's no one to charge. You can't charge someone who's dead with a crime. So that lacks that same element of maybe a necessity or urgency because the shooter was killed at the scene of the crime. But nevertheless, that's not what Merrick Garland said. Merrick Garland said, I can't decide whether or not to investigate this as a hate crime because we don't yet know the motive. Now, circle back to that shooting at the Buffalo grocery store in May of last year. Did any member of the Biden administration say, we're not going to investigate this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? Did anyone say that? The answer is no. That was not said. In fact, on the front end, when officials were interviewed about the Buffalo shooting, they immediately said, this may be a hate crime. We're going to investigate this as a hate crime. Let's look at that Club Q shooting in Colorado from November of 2022. Did any government officials say right off the bat, we're not sure whether we're going to investigate this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? Absolutely not. Every government official, whether it was state, federal, or local, came out after the Club Q shooting and said this was obviously a shooting that targeted homosexuals based upon their sexual identity or their sexual preference, and we're going to be investigating this as a hate crime. But you're not hearing that now. And I'm not suggesting that it is or is not a hate crime because I don't know the motive of the shooter. But I remember discussing this idea after the Buffalo shooting, after the Colorado shooting, and throwing out the idea, why are we so quick to rush into investigating this as a hate crime until we know the motive of the shooter? So I agree with Merrick Garland. However, this is the only instance where Merrick Garland has taken that position. If it was against African-Americans, if it was against homosexuals, there was no decision to wait until we can identify the motive of the shooter. We're going to just announce, based upon the fact that African-Americans were shot, based upon the fact that homosexuals were shot, we're going to launch an investigation to determine the motive of the shooter to see if this is a hate crime. But yet when it comes to Christians, there's a distinct difference. So I don't know whether this is a hate crime or not until we read the manifesto, which hasn't been released yet because the shooter, Audrey Hale, she apparently wrote a manifesto describing, according to reports, what she did, why she did it, and her motivation. But we don't know about that yet. We don't know what's in that manifesto. We don't know if it's 100 words or 10,000 words. But regardless of how long it is, the Attorney General of the United States did not have access to this manifesto a day after the shooting, before he went and testified in front of Congress. I find that hard to believe because all Merrick Garland had to do was to say to one of the federal officials, one of the hundreds, if not thousands of federal officials that were on site in Nashville, hey, take a picture of the manifesto and text it to me. How hard is that? And so Merrick Garland could have, in fact, read this manifesto and could have said in front of Congress, well, I've read the manifesto for security reasons. I'm not going to disclose what's in it. But from my reading of the manifesto, the intent of the shooter was X, whatever X may be. So I'm not suggesting that the shooter's intent was to massacre Christians, but we don't know whether it was or not. But there doesn't even seem to be a desire to find out what that motive is. And that is the distinction that's drawn because in this instance, Christians were the target. Christian school, the pastor's daughter, the pastor who's the head of the school, his daughter was shot and killed. So kids presumably going to the Christian school are Christians. Teachers presumably at a Christian school are Christians. So Christians were targeted. Christians were shot. But yet there's not even the desire, apparently, to launch an investigation to see if this is, in fact, a hate crime. And that's the distinction that I'm trying to make here. And when I was reading some of the mainstream media reports about Josh Hawley calling for an investigation, he was rather mocked. And certainly he was mocked over on MSNBC for doing that. Why? Why would a person be mocked for acknowledging that the target of the shooter were all Christians? Why would that person be mocked for saying, can we investigate this as a hate crime against Christians? Why is that a position to be mocked in this country? I didn't mock any of the officials after Buffalo for saying we're going to investigate this as a hate crime. I didn't, and I don't think conservatives did, mocked officials after the Club Q shooting to say this is going to be investigated as a hate crime against homosexuals, because it was rather obvious that in both of those instances, the targets of the violence belong to a group covered by the hate crimes law. And yet in this instance, when we have the exact same scenario where it's obvious that the targets of the shooter are covered under the hate crime laws of this country, there's suddenly a reluctance to investigate this as a hate crime. It's interesting. I've had conversations over the years about whether there is discrimination against Christians in this country. And I had an incident, I would be told over and over and over again, oh, Brad, there's no discrimination against Christians. And yet I had an instance where my daughter, my oldest daughter, when she was in grade school, had some time. I'm not going to mention the school, but when she was in grade school, they had some free time at school, and it happened to be free time in December. And the teacher said, do whatever you want. We've got 10, 15 minutes to kill. And my daughter drew a picture of a Christmas tree, which a Christmas tree is not even a religious symbol. Okay. It wasn't like she drew the cross. She didn't make a sketch of the Ten Commandments. She wasn't drawing the Ark of the Covenant. Okay. It was a Christmas tree, which is a secular representation of Christmas. And the teacher, and I can say this specifically because it happened to my daughter, the teacher grabbed that piece of paper where my daughter drew a Christmas tree, crumpled it up, and said to my daughter, you cannot draw that here. This is a Christmas symbol. You cannot draw that at school, and threw it away. Of course, I wanted to instantly file a lawsuit. My wife talked me off the ledge, so I didn't do that. But my point is that there is evidence of discrimination against Christians. There is evidence for discrimination against faith in this society. And Christians, even though they're specifically listed, at least based on religion, under the Hate Crimes Act, there's a reluctance, particularly among the left, to, number one, acknowledge that, unless it's a Muslim group. Now, if it's a Muslim group, you'll see the left in this country parading out saying that there's discrimination going on. But if it's a Christian group, that desire, that zeal to see religious liberty upheld suddenly disappears and becomes as transparent as the wind. It just kind of dissipates. And I find that incredibly interesting. Hey, we got to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about how the legacy media is struggling to handle the fact that the shooter is apparently transgender. And also Biden, the gaffe machine, once again makes statements about the shooting that are simply false. I'll go through those with you after this break. At your service. Don't go away. Welcome back to At Your Service. We just had several phone calls. Folks didn't want to go on the air, but some very nice comments from callers. Thank you very much. Also, if one person was wondering, when is Brad Young on? Typically, I'm on Wednesday nights through the non-baseball season. But now that baseball season's around the corner, it's going to be hard for me to figure out when, in fact, I'm going to be on, because I'll be on around the Cardinals games. So I'll be on Wednesday nights, 8 to 10, right here on Camel X, until the games start moving from day to night. And when that happens, I'll be on probably a lot of Thursday evenings when there's not a game, or perhaps a Monday evening when there's not a game. It'll just be working around the Cardinals game. So that's not a fantastic answer, but that's the best answer I can give you. 314-436-7900 if you'd like to call and make a comment. Certainly, I always encourage people to stick around and come on the air. Also, if you disagree with me, and I had someone text me 2 weeks ago and said, Brad, you're afraid to take calls from people who disagree with you. And I wrote back and I said, are you kidding me? I encourage people to call when they disagree with me. In fact, if there's multiple calls holding, I'll put you to the front of the line if you disagree with me. Because I'm not looking necessarily for folks to call in and say, oh, Brad, I agree with you, although I appreciate that. But a discussion sometimes needs to have a different point of view. And if you have that point of view, I will always put you to the front of the line if you give a call. Give us a call here at 314-436-7900. Now, two other angles that I'd like to cover here in the time that we have, and that is, it's interesting that the legacy media has really struggled this week on how to characterize a transgender shooter. Because as I was watching the stories unfold, that the initial announcement was it was a female. And of course, a lot of the media outlets instantly jumped on this idea that women are far less likely to be shooters than men. And that's a statistical fact. If you look at people involved in mass shooting, it's not 100%. I don't know what the stat is, but I'll bet you it's in the 90 percentile or higher, 90, maybe 95 percentile of shooters are men. So the legacy media struggled with that. But then when they found out that Audrey Hale self-identifies as a man, then I can't remember which outlet it was, said that, well, now it makes sense why she did this or why he did this, because the transgendered woman identifies as a male. And I thought, that doesn't even make any sense, because if it's a man who does this because of the genetic makeup of a man, that genetic makeup wouldn't exist in a transgendered male. I mean, it's almost like, and obviously I'm being facetious, but I saw a headline on Babylon Bee recently that said there's an enormous rise in testicular injuries among female athletes. And of course, that it's designed to get a laugh, right? Because how can there be testicular injuries among female athletes? But the point is that genetically, a transgendered male isn't going to be any, or a woman who identifies as a man isn't going to be any more genetically inclined to commit a crime than any other female. So that's, to me, is just preposterous. But even with regard to using pronouns, in fact, I think it was USA Today finally eliminated the use of any pronouns in the reporting, because USA Today couldn't decide whether it was a she or a he, so they simply said Hale. Hale, and that's the shooter's last name. And to me, I find it interesting. But the most interesting part to me is President Biden's response. Because, of course, he comes out and starts talking about things you can't do. And I'm quoting here. President Biden says, quote, you're not allowed to go out and own an automatic weapon, unquote. Well, Mr. President, you are. In fact, I know at least five people who have a license to own automatic weapons. One of them, a friend of mine, has a Tommy gun, a 45, like they used to use in the Roaring Twenties. So you can own an automatic weapon. Next, quote, you're not allowed to own a machine gun, unquote. Yes, Mr. President, you are. And in fact, the shooter in this case, Audrey Hale, did not use a machine gun. And again, I'm quoting, quote, "You're not allowed to own a flamethrower," unquote. Yes, you are. There's no laws banning the ownership of a flamethrower. In fact, you can buy one today from Elon Musk's company. You can buy one today and have it shipped to your house, free shipping. So he goes out and makes these statements that are just false. Now, it doesn't, and statements that have no contextual relationship with the shooting. The shooter did not use an automatic weapon. The shooter did not use a machine gun. And the last time I checked, the shooter did not use a flamethrower. So why, Mr. President, do you give these examples? Hey, we've got more coming up after the break on At Your Service. Stick around. Welcome back to At Your Service. We just had several phone calls. Folks didn't want to go on the air, but some very nice comments from callers. Thank you very much. Also, if one person was wondering, when is Brad Young on? Typically, I'm on Wednesday nights through the non-baseball season. But now that baseball season's around the corner, it's going to be hard for me to figure out when, in fact, I'm going to be on, because I'll be on around the Cardinals games. So I'll be on Wednesday nights, 8 to 10, right here on Camel X, until the games start moving from day to night. And when that happens, I'll be on probably a lot of Thursday evenings when there's not a game, or perhaps a Monday evening when there's not a game. It'll just be working around the Cardinals game. So that's not a fantastic answer, but that's the best answer I can give you. 314-436-7900 if you'd like to call and make a comment. Certainly, I always encourage people to stick around and come on the air. Also, if you disagree with me, and I had someone text me 2 weeks ago and said, "Brad, you're afraid to take calls from people who disagree with you." And I wrote back and I said, "Are you kidding me? I encourage people to call when they disagree with me. In fact, if there's multiple calls holding, I'll put you to the front of the line if you disagree with me." Because I'm not looking necessarily for folks to call in and say, "Oh, Brad, I agree with you," although I appreciate that. But a discussion sometimes needs to have a different point of view. And if you have that point of view, I will always put you to the front of the line if you give a call. Give us a call here at 314-436-7900. Now, two other angles that I'd like to cover here in the time that we have, and that is, it's interesting that the legacy media has really struggled this week on how to characterize a transgender shooter. Because as I was watching the stories unfold, that the initial announcement was it was a female. And of course, a lot of the media outlets instantly jumped on this idea that women are far less likely to be shooters than men. And that's a statistical fact. If you look at people involved in mass shooting, it's virtually, it's not 100%. I don't know what the stat is, but I'll bet you it's in the 90 percentile or higher, 90, maybe 95 percentile of shooters are men. So the legacy media struggled with that. But then when they found out that Audrey Hale self-identifies as a man, then I can't remember which outlet it was, said that, well, now it makes sense why she did this or why he did this, because the transgendered woman identifies as a male. And I thought, that doesn't even make any sense, because if it's a man who does this because of the genetic makeup of a man, that genetic makeup wouldn't exist in a transgendered male. I mean, it's almost like, and obviously I'm being facetious, but I saw a headline on Babylon Bee recently that said there's an enormous rise in testicular injuries among female athletes. And of course, that it's designed to get a laugh, right? Because how can there be testicular injuries among female athletes? But the point is that genetically, a transgendered male isn't going to be any, or a woman who identifies as a man, isn't going to be any more genetically inclined to commit a crime than any other female. So that's, to me, is just preposterous. But even with regard to using pronouns. In fact, I think it was USA Today finally eliminated the use of any pronouns in the reporting because USA Today couldn't decide whether it was a she or a he, so they simply said Hale. Hale, and that's the shooter's last name. And to me, I find it interesting. But the most interesting part to me is President Biden's response, because, of course, he comes out and starts talking about things you can't do. And I'm quoting here. President Biden says, quote, "You're not allowed to go out and own an automatic weapon," unquote. Well, Mr. President, you are. In fact, I know at least five people who have a license to own automatic weapons. One of them, a friend of mine, has a Tommy gun, a 45 like they used to use in the Roaring 20s. So you can own an automatic weapon. Next, quote, "You're not allowed to own a machine gun," unquote. Yes, Mr. President, you are. And in fact, the shooter in this case, Audrey Hale, did not use a machine gun. And again, I'm quoting, quote, "You're not allowed to own a flamethrower," unquote. Yes, you are. There's no laws banning the ownership of a flamethrower. In fact, you can buy one today from Elon Musk's company. You can buy one today and have it shipped to your house, free shipping. So he goes out and makes these statements that are just false. Now, it doesn't, and statements that have no contextual relationship with the shooting. The shooter did not use an automatic weapon. The shooter did not use a machine gun. And the last time I checked, the shooter did not use a flamethrower. So why, Mr. President, do you give these examples? Hey, we've got more coming up after the break on At Your Service. Stick around.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's a brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station this Wednesday on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.